Book 9. He who acts unjustly acts impiously. For since the universal nature has made rational animals for the sake of one another, to help one another according to their deserts, but in no way to injure one another, he who transgresses her will is clearly guilty of impiety towards the highest divinity. And he too who lies is guilty of impiety to the same divinity. For the universal nature is the nature of things that are, and things that are have a relation to all things that come into existence. And further, this universal nature is named truth, and is the prime cause of all things that are true. He then who lies intentionally is guilty of impiety, inasmuch as he acts unjustly by deceiving, and he also who lies unintentionally, inasmuch as he is at variance with the universal nature, and inasmuch as he disturbs the order by fighting against the nature of the world, for he fights against it, who is moved of himself to that which is contrary to truth, for he had received powers from nature, through the neglect of which he is not able now to distinguish falsehood from truth. And indeed, he who pursues pleasure as good, and avoids pain as evil, is guilty of impiety. For of necessity, such a man must often find fault with the universal nature, alleging that it assigns things to the bad and the good contrary to their deserts, because frequently the bad enjoy pleasure and possess the things which procure pleasure, while the good suffer from pain and the things which cause pain. And further, he who is afraid of pain will sometimes also be afraid of some of the things which must naturally happen in the world, and even this is impiety. And he who pursues pleasure will not abstain from injustice, and this is plainly impiety. Now, with respect to the things towards which the universal nature is disinterested or indifferent, for it would not have made both unless it was equally affected towards both, towards these they who wish to follow nature should be of the same mind with it, and equally affected. With respect to pain, then, and pleasure, or death and life, or honour and dishonour, which the universal nature treats equally, whoever is not equally affected is manifestly acting impiously. When I say that the universal nature treats them equally, I mean that it sees their happening or not as a matter of indifference in the context of the great continuous series in which everything occurs by virtue of a certain original movement of providence, according to which it moved from a certain beginning to this current ordering of things, the universal nature having conceived certain principles of the things which were to be, and having determined powers productive of beings, and of changes and of such like successions. It would be a man's happiest lot to depart from mankind without having had any taste of lying and hypocrisy and luxury and pride. However, to breathe out one's life when a man has had enough of these things is the next best voyage, as the saying is. Have you determined to abide with vice, and has not experience yet induced you to fly from this pestilence? For the destruction of the understanding is a pestilence, much more indeed than any such corruption and change of this atmosphere which surrounds us. For this corruption is a pestilence of animals, so far as they are animals, but the other is a pestilence of men, so far as they are men. Do not despise death, but be well content with it, since this too is one of those things which nature wills. For such as it is to be young and to grow old, and to increase and to reach maturity, and to have teeth and a beard and grey hairs, and to beget, and to be pregnant, and to bring forth, and all the other natural operations which the seasons of your life bring, such also is dissolution. This then is consistent with the character of a reflecting man, to be neither careless, nor impatient, nor contemptuous with respect to death, but to wait for it as one of the operations of nature. As you now wait for the time when the child shall come out of your wife's womb, so be ready for the time when your soul shall fall out of this envelope. But if you require also a vulgar kind of comfort which shall reach your heart, you will be made best reconciled to death by observing the objects from which you are going to be removed, and the morals of those with whom your soul will no longer be mingled. Although it is no way right to be offended with men, and it is your duty to care for them and to bear with them gently, yet remember that your departure will be not from men who have the same principles as yourself, for this is the only thing, if there be any, which could draw us the contrary way and attach us to life, to be permitted to live with those who have the same principles as ourselves. But you are aware how great is the trouble arising from the discordance of those who live together, and so that you may say, "Come quick, O death, lest perchance I too should forget myself." He who does wrong against himself. He who acts unjustly to himself, because he makes himself bad. He often acts unjustly who does not do a certain thing, not only he who does a certain thing. If your present opinion is founded on understanding, and your present conduct directed to social good, and your present disposition of contentment with everything which happens, that is enough. Wipe away imaginative fancy, check desire, extinguish appetite. Keep the ruling faculty, your reason, in its own power.